Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. We're so happy to have you here. Thank you. We love you. And we're really excited about a bunch of stuff that's going on right now. One that I have to share with you is Doing It at Home merchandise is available. It's up. It's launched. It's there for you. So we asked, you answered, and then we answered your answer. So we asked a while back what you wanted to see from us, what some things you wanted Doing It at Home related, and merch was one of the things. So gear, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, and that's what we have now. So t-shirts, I said sweatshirts, hoodies, and tanks, actually, all available for you right now to purchase through our online platform. So I'm going to include a link to it in today's show notes for you. So go check that out. Or if you want to check it out right now, you can go to bonfire.com/store/DIAH podcast. Or if you're in Bonfire's main website, you can search DIAH podcast store or go to our Instagram page and it's the link in our profile right now. Or like I said, in the show notes of today's episode. And check it out. It's so cool. Doing It at Home gear. I can't wait to see all of you wearing it and sporting that empowered home birth vibes all over the place. They're also really great conversation starters. I will say, wearing a shirt that says, "Let's talk home birth," you meet some friends and it's a lot of fun. So go check that out. This launch is only available until October 31st. So Halloween, October 31st is the last day to get your order in for these shirts. And the way that it's set up, the way that this site allows us to sell these shirts is if we don't sell enough by that date, then nobody gets them. So don't be the person that keeps everyone else from getting their shirts. So go to bonfire.com/store/DIAH podcast and get you some Doing It at Home gear swag today. Go do it right now. And you can also see the previews, the pictures of all the shirts on our Instagram at DIAH podcast. Cool? Cool. All right. Today's birth story. Oh, really cool. This is a great one for those of you who work in a hospital setting or the medical field and are interested in home birth or are pursuing home birth, because Elise Keener, today's guest, is herself a self-proclaimed planner and researcher and a pediatric intensive care nurse for over 8 years. So when it came time for her to explore birth and where and the possibility of home birth, she went down the rabbit hole of content to really find out what worked for her and to sift through any disempowering thoughts that were coming up. So I want to read briefly Elise's email to us before we hopped on our interview and when we were getting the details of her story, because I feel like she just sets it up really great and gives you the tone of what this empowering, beautiful conversation is. So Elise said, this is back before we had our interview, "I have felt for a while that I should share my birth story not only for its outcome, but also the process of choosing home birth. I'm a pediatric intensive care nurse of over 8 years and have felt comfortable in hospital settings my entire life. When I graduated nursing school, I was 22 and had seen multiple deaths within the first year of my career. There is something to be said about the parents and families choosing natural death for their child and women choosing natural birth for their baby. I never realized how similar they are. I thought of the traumatic deaths I've experienced, and all of them involved lots of medical intervention, prolonging inevitable death. These are the ones that haunt me. Of all the deaths I've experienced, the ones that were gentle or natural were the most healing and peaceful. How amazing would it be to start life in the same manner? I wanted this for my future children. Of course, there were several fears to address. The biggest was safety of home birth. How would I turn off my nurse brain during labor or even during pregnancy? What would I tell my coworkers or my mom, who is also a nurse? I dug deep into books. I took myself on a solo date to see the premiere of Why Not Home. I meditated, took hypnobirthing-ish type classes, which was profoundly helpful. I found a midwife that was a straight shooter, no BS type. Lastly, I threw all my fears and experiences about life and death out the window, and it was the best thing I could have done for me and my baby. My labor was 8.5 hours, and I delivered a posterior baby with minimal pain. It was amazing. So there you go. We get into the details of that, and you get to learn more of Elise's story. Here it is.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hi, Elise.
Hi.
What's up, Elise? Sarah and I are super excited to have you on the Doing It at Home podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
That was cute, Matthew. You were like, excited. You went up a little bit on that. That was so fun.
Yeah.
Reminds me of my sorority days.
I thought Sarah might actually be the more excited one, but I'm happy that it's you.
He just loves babies and birth.
I know.
Elise, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah, sure. My name is Elise Keener. I am a pediatric intensive care nurse at one of the top pediatric hospitals in the Bay Area in Northern California. I am married to my husband, Kyle. We've been married for 3 years, and we have a son named Otto, who is 8 months old, and we live in Napa, California.
Beautiful. How is it in Napa right now? I bet it's nice.
Oh, yeah. October is great. You know, it's great. We got a long summer, so.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. And I have to note here that, Elise, not only are you a pediatric intensive care nurse, but you're just getting off shift. So thank you for that. Yeah. When you shared that with us before we hit record, I was like, dang, I have to mention that because that's some powerful mama stuff. So.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So you may need to help me along to help my brain a little bit, but
I'm used to
staying up for extended hours.
Yeah.
So top of being a mom, it's also easier to stay awake.
Well, I'll kick it off with a really simple question. I'm curious, where did the name Otto come from?
I wish it was a cool story, but you know what? We just liked the name. Yeah, we just liked it. My husband has some German roots. I am like Mexican and Irish, so it didn't come from me. But just liked the name Otto. Liked that it was kind of an old man name that you could give to a baby and it would be cool. And then a nice name when he got older.
That is a very cool name. Yeah. I dig it.
Yeah,
thanks.
So I would like to hear, Elise, a little bit about your history. Obviously, you've worked in a hospital for a number of years, so you have that experience. Mm-hmm. And just how that influenced you along the way, I guess, as a young woman and through your career. And then once you started kind of internalizing and processing for yourself when you would plan and have a family, just how some of that went for you as you, you know, took into account and processed.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a planner, at least a researcher. I want to like know everything that I'm getting myself into before I do it. So long before I think we even got married, I had come across, I think it was probably like a really beautiful photo of a woman in a labor tub, you know, back when Instagram was a little more censored. And it kind of I guess, sparked a little bit of interest and you know, went in the deep dive into that whole home birthing scene. Because once you start, it really just goes and goes, and then your curiosity just expands.
Yeah.
So I remember watching The Business of Being Born when I was in college. I had to watch it for nursing school. And I don't actually remember exactly how I felt about it, because it was a little bit ago. But I think I remember just like kind of brushing it off. But it was part of our, you know, curriculum to watch it together.
That's pretty fascinating that it was part of your curriculum.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really wish that I remembered the conversation around it, but I don't. And at that time it was like, labor and delivery is not for me. There's no way I will ever do that. So that was the first time that I had watched it. I think it had just come out maybe, or it was recently released. So that was that. And then when I kind of like found everything on Instagram, I researched a little bit more and watched Business of Being Born Again, which is great intro to all of that. And then kind of took a break from it because I was getting ahead of myself and not even pregnant or, you know, really thinking about it. But it would definitely be in my future. Mm-hmm. So I guess what really sparked it is I had come across the Why Not Home documentary. Mm. I know you guys did a podcast with that filmmaker.
Yeah.
And I had also found that on Instagram, and I was like, this is speaking to me. This is like my language. This is something that I maybe can get a little bit more answers to the questions that I have about safety and why are medical professionals doing, you know, home birth or trying for a home birth. And
Right. So specifically film, just to mention for those who aren't familiar with it, we'll also include a link to the show where we speak with the filmmaker. But it highlights hospital birth workers who chose to birth at home. So from doctors to nurses, people in that environment who chose to have a home birth. So it's a fascinating take that we hadn't really heard about or seen in a mainstream way in a film like this. So I could totally see why that would speak to you. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it was great. I sat in the back row. I took myself on a solo date. I told my husband, I was like, I'm going to go drive an hour to go see this. And I'll let you know how it goes. So
catch you later.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so good. I cried. I think it was just really like a good turning point for me. And like, okay, like if these people can do it, then I can do it.
Right.
I just have to work through some things first.
Right. And so what were some of those things?
And get pregnant too.
Yeah. That, you know, minor details, but what were some of those things that you said to work through?
I think the number one thing is safety. It was my number one fear, you know, and I know that's not just because I'm a medical professional. We all have that fear, right? That something might go wrong. So I, again, just put my nose in a book and read. I bought Gentle Birth, Gentle Mothering, which is by Sarah Buckley.
Yes.
Yep. We're familiar.
It's such a good book.
Mm-hmm, like, I agree.
It really is. You know, it uses the brand method. So benefits, risks, alternatives, and do nothing. And I'm like, wow, this is such a good approach to like every kind of hurdle you might encounter, home birth or hospital birth, however, and a lot of research in it and facts, which I love.
Yes.
And not for me personally, not a whole lot of like hippy dippy stuff.
Right. Cause she's a medical doctor, Sarah Buckley. So she has that perspective. Yeah. And I think that was the only book I read in its entirety. I dabbled in other ones, but when I was pregnant, that's the only book that I can remember reading the whole thing. And we've had her on the show too. And I fangirled out when I got to talk to her.
Yeah. So, that, and then I think, you know, along with, if something did go wrong, like, would I tell myself, like, I should have known better? Or, like, just with my background, I think, you know, would people expect that I should have known better? Or would I blame myself? Or, you know, what, how would that kind of manifest? And I know I don't have to justify anything to, like, my coworkers or friends or whatever, but I think that I, in my job, deal with so much death that I often think about the life that I want for my children, right, future children, and the choices that I make surrounding that would give them, like, the best start to life. And when I thought about it in that way, I'm like, well, if people can choose to die at home with hospice care, like, and that's accepted, then kind of why isn't this? And I understand they're totally different things, but not so much.
Right,
they're like, life and death go together. And I just really kind of stuck to my guns on that. And that was a very personal choice. And, you know, some people may not agree with it, at least maybe not some of the people that I work with, at least. But so that's kind of how I not convinced myself, but just reassured myself that, like, this is the right thing to do.
That's a beautiful and powerful perspective. I think it's the first time that I've heard it. I don't know, you, Sarah, you know, saying when somebody's at the end of their life and they're transitioning, you know, wouldn't you want that to be peaceful, comfortable, natural, free of as many interventions that prolong the process? And then equating that to birth, wouldn't we want that to be peaceful, natural, comfortable? I love that. And I'm, wow, that was very cool. That resonated with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, yeah. And then, you know, what you said, the thing of, you know, should I have known better? You know, that's just so interesting that the term better, when it comes to our birth choices, that looks different from person to person. And a lot of us think we know better or think what is better, you know, and I'm sure in the case that you were grappling with it, should I have known better meant, you know, better equaling hospital and X, Y, and Z, you know, choices and plans and all of that laid out. Because I think that's just kind of what we're presented as better. But better is what you decide once you do what you, Elise, did, going through the research, reading, getting in touch with your own self desires and, you know, value system, all of that, that's what equals better.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, those were just my initial fears, you know, like, it's like, oh, should I go, like, what if this happens? Should I do it? Should I not do it? It was like the very beginning stages of that. And I worked through it and I was like, you know, like, yeah, this is obviously the better choice for me. I never turned back. So,
When did you bring up home birth as an option with Kyle and what was his response?
I just told him.
Nice.
FYI.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of casually mentioned it, but I believe that I'm in charge of my body, and I know he has concerns about that, but, you know, because it involves me and my life and our future baby. But I was really like, I just, like, this is what we're gonna do. And he was just along for the ride. He's like, however you feel comfortable, and if you want to do this, let's do it. So
cool.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I do have to mention, though, my mom's a nurse.
I wanted to know about that. I wanted to know about coworkers, too, because I know we had mentioned that, you know, as we were emailing back and forth.
Yeah, so my mom's a nurse, and I knew that I would have to maybe kind of butter her up on the idea.
Yeah, make a presentation, a pitch, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I kind of, like, sprinkled it in here or there, like, before we ever got pregnant, and then I might have sprinkled it in again. And she, I think the more that I kind of demystified everything about home birth for her, she was super excited, you know? And then at the end of it, when they're like, look at my daughter, she did this, like, she was so excited and happy for me. So that felt good.
That's great.
And what about your coworkers?
I kind of, I don't know. I think it's so funny that people ask, like, one of the first questions when you're pregnant is, where are you going to deliver?
Right.
Yeah. Which, it's so funny to me because why ask if you're not expecting a different answer than what you're used to, right? So I kind of gave them a different answer, and a little, some of them were taken aback or like, but what are you going to do in an emergency? Or, you know, what, when would you go to the hospital? I'm like, well, I'm actually not going to go to the hospital unless, you know, X, Y, Z. But they, some were, a lot of them were really supportive, and I was actually surprised. Or some were like, I looked into that too. Mm. Or I wish I could have done that, but I didn't.
Wow.
So I'm trying to have an open, like a positive conversation about birth and the experience, just to like maybe plant that seed in some of my young coworkers. We're all of like childbearing age, so maybe I can get somebody to do a home birth by the end of it.
I'm sure you planted those seeds, because now, you know, yeah, like, we didn't really know of many people who had chosen home birth. Now we know so many, but just having that little seed planted, like, huh, all right, Elise has done it. Interesting.
Yeah.
So tell us about the end of pregnancy, and as you were nearing birthing time, and how you were preparing, and all of that. And you were working with Paula, who we've spoken with as well. There are a lot of connections that you have to everything we've done on the show. So we're just going to link to every episode we've ever done at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell us about that.
Well, I listened to you guys for when you guys had started, because at the time I felt like it was kind of the only specifically home birthing podcast. But I was listening to the Birth Hour, which has like a variety of birth stories, which I feel like it's good just to get exposure. Some people want to know all about birth and some don't, you know, about all of the possibilities. You just have to kind of, you know, take it lightly and know that those are other people's experiences and may not be yours. So to prepare, I guess, I have a 2-hour drive to work, so listening to podcasts is like my thing.
That's amazing.
I'm always in the car. So I did that, and then I took a birthing class in San Francisco, which was phenomenal. It's called Yes to Birth, and it's with a woman named Rachel Yellen, and it's kind of hypnobirthing-ish, focuses on hypnosis, meditation, breathing, and like your mind-body-baby connection. And that helped me tremendously, because she right off the bat was all about addressing your fears. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, believed that if you had absolutely anything that could hold you back, like, let's talk about it and work through it now.
Yeah.
Which I feel is like so important to set yourself up for success. And then I learned that she had this tag, was basically, don't borrow trouble.
Mm.
And the example that she used was, you know, if you're listening to all these birth stories, or you have a friend or an sister or whoever sharing their birth story with you, maybe it's frightening, maybe it's not the outcome that they wanted, it's traumatic or whatever that is, know that it's theirs, and it may or may not be your story.
Wow.
So just don't borrow trouble, don't like go spiraling down that like deep what if, and that spoke to me so much, because that's exactly how I feel most of the time. You know, the outcomes that I see at work are tragic. Like, unfortunately, there's some that are really happy, and there's some like traumatic births, you know, that I've seen the results of, and that's really hard. And It's always in the back of my mind, but once I heard Don't Borrow Trouble, it allowed me to kind of release that fear and just not revisit again.
I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's awesome. So tell us about when you realized birth was happening.
How did you know?
We were underway here.
My mother-in-law came up to visit, and we had cleaned like every cabinet in our house, in my house, everything. And she'd stayed for a week, and I kind of told myself, so I was like 37 weeks. I had my like home birth visit with my midwife, came, showed her the house, like all of that. That was at 37 weeks. And she is on her way out, and I'm like, okay, see you next week. Like I always say. And she was like, well, I guess you never know. And it kind of took me aback because I was like, wait. And she was walking away from me, and I'm like, wait, what do you mean?
Yeah, you can't do that. Get like, back here.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, shit, like, this could happen. Like, I guess, yeah, but, you know, I'm prepared to go to 41 weeks, and this is only 37. So told myself, I'm definitely going to see her next week. So my mother-in-law ended up leaving on Sunday, and I kind of just had these thoughts of like, yeah, once she leaves, I would be ready. You know, like this is what they say. You're going to clean your whole house. You're going to be ready. And once everyone's gone, you'll go into labor. But I didn't actually believe it. So I spent my Monday like cleaning, didn't really feel like going anywhere, making dinner. And then it was like the second I laid down on the couch after eating, like was just going to turn, watch like something cheesy, like The Bachelor or something. And I got a cramp and I was like, oh, what's that? And then it happened again and I'm just quiet because I don't want to say anything too early. I'm like, is this what I think it is? Like, this is uncomfortable. And I was staring at the clock, so I waited for like a half an hour until I actually said something to Kyle. And it was like, it was happening every 6 minutes or something. And so I turned to him, I was like, just so you know, I think I'm having contractions. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, okay. And then I just got this like huge wave over me that I was like, oh no. I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom real fast. So I sit on the toilet and I lost my mucus plug. And of course, I'm like, I had never been nervous up until that very moment. I was like, oh my God, it's happening.
Paula foretold this moment when she left my house.
Just on the verge of turning 38 weeks. And wow. I'm like, so it really threw me for a loop. There's no way I would have guessed that I would be in labor, like, you know, 2 weeks before my due date. Especially when you're expecting to go like 2 weeks late. Mm-hmm. I called my midwife and sent her a photo and was like, is this what I think it is? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yep. So those were just kind of the beginning stages of that. But
wow. Okay, so keep it going. Let's keep going. Else? Yeah.
So you speed clean the house, I guess. Like, make sure that everything, you know, was already clean, but it has to be even cleaner, right? You have to have like all of your stuff together. And so Kyle was like looking at instructions for the birthing tub, even though it wasn't time to pull it out yet. So I had tried to lay down at like 10 o'clock, you know, cause that's what they say, like try and get some rest, or fall asleep. And I had done all these, like audio relaxation tapes and stuff and was practicing pretty religiously. And so I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to lay down and listen to him. And then I kid you not, lasted maybe like 5 minutes. And I'm like, how the hell do people fall asleep? This is impossible. There's no way.
Right there with you.
There's no way. This is not going to happen. Like, people are crazy.
Yeah, like, whoever they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you liars. This is hard. And so I just told Kyle, I'm like, I'm just going to get up and go somewhere else. So I went into the kitchen and I had my yoga ball and I was like sitting on the ball with my arms on the dining room table and just by myself. And one of the things that I felt strongly about was that your baby's your birth partner and I'm going to talk to him, talk to my son, and like, we're going to do this amazing thing together and we just have to make it through and communicate. What sometimes feels like one-sided communication with a baby, but I just kind of tried to go into a zone, which was very difficult. I wasn't really timing contractions at the point because I didn't see the purpose because, you know, I told myself I was going to be in labor for longer than 24 hours probably. So I went back into our bedroom and I just could not get comfortable and I felt so nauseous. I kind of told myself like, okay, just make it through this next hour, you know? And I think it was like, actually like, can you make it through the next hour without complaining? These are all the thoughts that like run through your head. Yeah. Right? I'm just talking to myself.
Yeah, mind game. Yeah.
And, like, okay, you can do this. And I tell Kyle, like, this is really hard. Like, I don't, like, this is difficult and I feel really nauseous. And he's like, okay, well, let's call Paula. So he's like, hey, she's feeling nauseous. Like, you know, can she maybe get in the shower? And she's like, yeah, it's too early for the tub. You know, she's probably just going into like active labor. So I have a pep talk with myself in the mirror alone. I was like, you have several hours ahead of you. You better get your shit together and handle this because if you don't, it's not going to work out for you. So it was just kind of that moment where I was like, come on, you can do this. Mm. It's fine. And, you know, I took all these birthing classes. I have a tool belt of things, like use them.
Yeah.
So I hopped in the shower. I turned the lights off. I had little like battery operated candles in there, which was a nice glow. And I just hung out in the shower. And the one thing that I remembered, the first thing that like popped into my head was smile. Which like sounds kind of crazy, but yes, I was like the person that like forced a smile through every contraction and at the end like rubbed my belly and said like, good job, baby. Mm. And then like did it all over again. And it helped. It like, it really relaxed my body. It was something positive and it made time fly by super fast. Mm-hmm. So before I know it, I was pushing in the shower and wow. I was just by myself. And I'm thinking like, Kyle's going to hear me pushing and he's going to come in and like, be like, what are you doing? And so, but I was so in the zone that like I didn't care to shout out to him and just figured, you know, he's going to hear me and just come in and check on me. And I think I just waited it out for like 30 minutes. and then I kind of was like, okay, this is like really intense, but the pushing for me, I don't know if it was like this for you, Sarah, it was like totally involuntary. Like just this guttural, like, like
wow.
Could not stop it. And I was like, thinking to myself, like, am I pushing or am I just not, am I not handling the, like, this intensity that well? Like, I thought maybe I just didn't have it under control. Hmm. And that I was maybe, I didn't think I was actually, like, pushing a baby out. So I called out to Kyle and I was like, will you listen to what I'm doing? Because I don't think this sounds right. Oh. And he called Paula, and of course she's like, you know, let me see if she can talk to me during contractions. And Kyle like starts to ask me, and I like put my hand up like shh. And then just let out this like huge like guttural like moan push, and she's like, I'm on my way. So she got there at about like 1:30 in the morning. And my first contraction was like around 9. So it happened really fast, faster than I thought. She shows up right as like the water's turning cold, and I'm getting angry that there's no hot water in the shower and panicking because I'm like, I don't think I can get out. The water's like helping me so much. And she checked me and she's like, holy cow, girl, like you're completely dilated. And I was like, thank God, because this is hard and I don't think I can do this forever. Because it seems like it's going to be forever. Mm-hmm. So I ended up pushing for 3 hours after that. And I never thought of it as painful. It actually felt good to push for me. But it was exhausting because it was so long. And he ended up being posterior. So that's why it took so long for me to push him out. He came out with just like the wonkiest head that I've ever seen. Like, and we just laughed about it because it was just so funny. And, you know, he came out and was like, you worked so hard to get here. Like, and we worked so hard to get here. And it was just like this really great moment. And yeah, it was just really beautiful.
Wow. Oh my goodness. So I want to go back just a little bit. Remind me again. First, what is posterior? Mm-hmm. What was the position when he's posterior?
So they call it's also known as sunny side up. So their face is supposed to be facing, I guess, toward your tailbone. Like they're supposed to face towards your back. His back was aligned with mine, and he was facing out. Babies can be birthed that way. It does happen. I guess it's not maybe optimal. But it can happen. And based on his position, when I had my appointments, like I just knew that he was going to be posterior. They make a couple of turns. But I knew he would have to make like a complete, like 360 all the way around. Or not 360, I guess would be less than that, but I knew that he wasn't going to turn the right way.
Yeah.
So I had that in the back of my mind, and it's, I think, typically known for like really long back labors. And I think that's why I thought that my labor was going to be so long.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for some reason. I have no idea. And I don't know if it's the like mental prep that I did or what, but it was really just the best outcome and experience that I could have asked for. So,
yeah, it's amazing. Otto comes, what, a month before a lot of first time moms. And the labor was, you know, relatively quick. I think you said it was around 8 hours, eight
he
and a half
ready.
Hours. Yeah, he was ready to come out and meet you guys. So,
yeah.
Where did you do the final pushing? Were you in the tub?
I was actually on the bed. I tried, they had filled up the birth tub for me, but I had already been pushing, gosh, for like an hour and a half by the time it was actually ready. So, you know, she offered, hey, do you want to get in the tub? And I'm like, sure, we blew it up and it's got water in it.
Yeah, so I'm like, there.
Wow. And his heart rate did not like it. Mm. I was in there probably for like 2 minutes and, yeah, it was, she was like, eh, not so much. Let's get out. So
right. Land, baby.
I'm like, okay, you're out in like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so how did it feel being on the other side? You know, this experience and all of the, I would imagine the thought processes and the coding and the education, you know, mm-hmm. almost a decade back at that point, now leading up to this moment, yeah. owning your birth, you know, what was that like?
I mean, it's like the best feeling. It really is. 'Cause I don't know if I've ever put that much like effort and like emotion into something before. It's hard to explain, but you know, unless you've actually done it, mm-hmm. but, I feel like, you know, in sharing it with people, they're like, oh, you're so lucky. But I feel like saying that I'm lucky kind of takes away from like the fact that I worked really hard for this. And like, I, you know, we all do. And no matter where you birth, you know, like take some credit, like however the outcome, you still birthed your baby and it's a really amazing thing. So I tried to ignore the people that said that I was lucky and knew that this was something that I worked really hard for.
Yeah.
And gave myself like a pat on the back for it.
Yeah. I like that. I'm glad you share that, you know, kind of, I mean, you could carry out don't borrow trouble through everything mm-hmm. in your life. And then especially in postpartum as a mama, I mean, you could replace mm-hmm. trouble with any sort of disempowering thoughts, conversations, beliefs, or things that just don't inspire you, you know, for someone to say you're so lucky, like, nah, it doesn't resonate so much with me. I'm going to leave that one there. Like, I'm not going to let that come into my sphere.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 'Cause it's not luck, you know, I mean, things happen. It's mm-hmm. not because you're unlucky or you're lucky. It's just, it is what it is.
Right, yeah. Right. Oh, Elise, this was so amazing. You brought in so much to this conversation and to the show. You've contributed a lot. And I think we dug into some things that we haven't talked about before. Getting your perspective was super amazing and unique. And I just think you're awesome. I want to go to Napa and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, anytime. Let's have a glass of wine.
I'd love for you to leave the listeners and us with a piece of advice or a tip, something, you know, now that you can look back over the past 8 months, something that you can just say, man, I'm so grateful for this thing I did or this thing I read. That really helped have this incredible, beautiful, powerful birth.
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to like researching everything, I think what really did it for me in terms of like science and knowing, having your like aha moment, like, yes, I can do this because it's written right here, is reading Sarah Buckley's Hormonal Blueprint of Labor. Is that what it's called? Do you guys remember?
I'll look it up and confirm that.
Yeah, it's all about your hormones and, you know, how that puts you into labor and how it sets you through it and gets you to the other side to, like, connecting with your baby. And it's just amazing. And it's, like, one of those, like, yes, my body was made for this and I can do it. And this is why. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, like, don't borrow trouble. I think it's a great thing to live by, not just in birth, but also try smiling during your contractions. Who knows? Maybe it'll work. It did for me. But, rub your baby and, like, give your baby love. And, I think just those things.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I just looked it up, Sarah Buckley's, I guess it's an article. It is called
Hormonal Blueprint. Yeah, it's a research article.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
you know, we'll have a link to it in the show notes, and then you know, you, everybody else listening, you guys can just go to Google and look up Sarah Buckley Hormonal Blueprint for Labor, and that's what Elise has been referencing.
Thank you so much, Elise. You did such an amazing job. You get to, your reward now is you get to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hard working mama
so
gets
excited.
To go kick up her feet and relax. So thank you.
Yeah, I hope so. I might have to nurse my baby and hang out with him for a bit, but I'll go to sleep eventually.
Well, we really do appreciate you for just carving out time and sharing your amazing story and hanging out with us. Thank you so much, Elise.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.